Somebody's going to go bridge here. It's a matter of time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Gombers Podcast, episode 97, presented by Guy Boston Sports. My name is Andrew Gardner, joined alongside by Alex Clausen and Steve Brady. Boys, how are we doing today?
Well, I just had maybe the greatest intro of my life. The last 96 episodes, I've never had a better intro, and Gardy cut it off. What I was trying to say in the last one, before he stopped the recording,
I didn't stop anything.
We have to skip. You cut me off.
You could have rolled with it on the second take. You could have rolled with it.
You said, no. We got to start over.
Well,
Steve went quiet.
Go ahead.
Director's got me wrapped around his finger, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, we can't do episode 97 because you guys – actually, now you guys do know. This was perfect. I started – you guys know who was number 97? Everyone was all confused. Now you guys know. It's Wally. It's the Wally episode. Thanks for ruining it, guys. This episode's going to suck.
What's the Tessie episode?
Doesn't matter.
You get a red hat in your head.
Steve, how you doing? I'm done with this.
I'm doing pretty okay. I mean, mom and dad are fighting. Mom being Andrew and dad being Clausen, obviously.
Right.
And the Red Sox, I know that you two like all of the moves, and I guess you like it, you know, and you can like all of the moves, but still be unsatisfied with the Red Sox at the trade deadline. And I'm pretty unsatisfied, I'd say.
All right. So here's the thing. We're here. This is the trade deadline episode. Obviously, you know why we're here. You read the title of this episode. Steve?
Before we go any further, I would like to give out a huge RIP to Vin Scully.
Yeah, let's do that first.
Moment of silence for the former Dodger broadcaster. RIP. Some of the most iconic calls in broadcasting history, regardless of sport.
You know what this means?
Good old Vin. No, I don't.
This means Don Orsillo is now the greatest announcer who is still alive. This also means that in those charts, Dave O'Brien bumps up one more spot just by default. Take someone off the list.
You couldn't say anything nice about Vin Scully. You had to go straight to Dave O'B.
I went to Don Orsillo first.
Oh, okay. It was like that was like a 1A.
What?
Austin was like, yo.
I was like, Orsillo was 1, O'Brien was 1A.
On the bright side.
All right, so Don Orsillo is like 1. Dave O'Brien is like 260th.
Dave O'Brien goes up to 259th, but he's still in last.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, trade deadline episode. I think we've got some differentiating opinions on what the Red Sox did. It was interesting. I'm excited to talk about it. We've been blowing up our group chat the last day, discussing how we feel about everything. We got some great questions from a few of you on Instagram and Twitter today to kind of spark some discussion. So appreciate everybody who sent those in. So, yeah, the Red Sox will start off. What's that? Today is Wednesday. So Monday night, Christian Vasquez, right before the game, is traded to the Houston Astros for 2 prospects. And it was a weird scene. The 2 prospects, Emmanuel Valdez and is it Wyler Abreu? Steve, you got a pronunciation on that?
No.
Okay. Thank you. the moment was weird. I mean, Vasquez is the longest tenured player in the organization, second longest on the team.
Mid-on-field interview when he found out.
Well, yeah, the Red Sox PR pulled him off. I'm saying it was weird because the Red Sox are in Houston, and Vasquez he knew before they went out onto the field that he was traded, and he went and asked Corey. He said, "Can I take batting practice one last time before I got to walk across the dugout? I got to take new pictures. I got to do this. I got to pass a physical." He said, "Yeah," and he went out. That was one of the more awkward moments that I can remember.
I mean, you kind of expected Vasquez to be on the block with how good of an offensive season he's been having. He's a free agent after this year. He has been, at times, atrocious behind the plate. Defensively, I'd rather almost anybody else on the 40-man than Vasquez behind the plate at times. However, he had a great Red Sox career, and there's a stat I have right here. It's called catcher, like, framing. It's just called catcher framing. It's like a rate, how good a catcher is at getting strike calls when the pitch is off the off the plate and converting to strikes. What do you think Christian Vasquez is ranked out of 60 catchers?
Number two.
No.
I'm going to guess like 57th.
46th.
Oh, I thought you were like leading him off to be like, he's bad defensively, but.
Nope. He's minus two catcher framing runs. I don't know. Minus two. Not good. He is hitting like 280 with like 8 home runs though this season.
The thing about Christian Vasquez.
Hate to see him go.
Yeah, you hate to see him go. I mean, listen, when we looked at this, we did an episode, only 3 days ago now, where we discussed, you know, who's going to go. And I think the top three on our list, not even I think, the top three on our list, guys, I think it was JD number one, Vasquez number two, Evaldi number three. And we were kind of expecting, I think all of us were expecting JD to be out of here.
He's still with the team. Sources say... There's no shot he gets re-signed after this season.
Well,
is that not accurate anymore? Who's to say?
Who said that?
Sources.
Sources. I'm not.
Per sources.
Should I say it? Should I bring it on the show?
I didn't.
All
right. You can make an independent thought of your own if you'd like.
Independently, I do not have any sources, but independently. JD asked for a 3-year contract. Red Sox ownership did not entertain the idea of re-signing him. Hence why I have been saying JD will not be a Red Sox next year.
Yeah, wasn't JD like 2 or 3 years and his intention was to retire as a Red Sox at the end of that contract?
I think that was his intention, Steve. He said, I'm not citing anything. I'm not citing anything specific. But if I were JD, I would say, hey, I want to sign a 2 or 3 year deal. I want to win another ring and I want to retire the city of Boston. And ownership said, they actually said nothing. they said we're actually going to ignore you.
You want to win another ring? You're in the wrong place, bud.
But again, I have no sources on that.
And then they flew to Pittsburgh to go pay more attention to the Penguins than the Red Sox. That's what ownership did.
But anyways, that was a report that I heard. You can do with that what you want, but I will say this. Before the game yesterday, JD Martinez, he was getting interviewed about, like, the reporters like, are you relieved you're still, you know, in Boston, this and that. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's getting annoying, this and that, or – you know, he was annoyed. He's been annoyed by the situation. But the thing that he said that resonated with me, which kind of backs up this claim that I may or may not have heard through the grapevine, was I don't have a lot of goes at this left. He's 35. I think JD knows that his time in the league is ticking down. But that's the whole thing with JD. And that's kind of, you know, a little bit off track, but a little bit of, you know, Gombrich insider info for you here. But, yeah, I mean, Vasquez, he's gone. Steve, you alluded to that he's a free agent at the end of the season. You know, you get two decent prospects for him. I saw a lot of people on Twitter, you know, oh, we got prospects, this and that, this and that. I mean, listen, we got more prospects. But, you know, Reese McGuire also acquired him at the deadline. He had a nice game today. He's not the best offensive catcher. In fact, he tugged a couple balls to left field.
He was tugging something else, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Some thoughts on the Christian Vasquez trade?
I was actually looking at the prospects they got. this one guy, Emmanuel Valdez, he's hitting like 300 plus in AAA.
Dude, he hit a home run with Worcester today already.
What position does he play?
Third base.
Second and third base.
All right.
I'll take it.
We pretty need a logged, jammed sometimes. Positions, but we got to trade some of these prospects, but that's talk for later.
This guy's bat absolutely took off the last 2 years. I mean, he's been in the minors since 2016, and 2016 to 2019, he hit single-digit home runs, 21 and 22, 26, and he's already got 22 home runs this year. So, I mean,
you think
I like what I'm seeing there. He's only 5'9".
Hey, Guardy. I think he's juicing. I think he's juicing.
Clausen.
Yeah, Guardy.
I wouldn't put it past the Astros.
I wouldn't put it past him either.
Nice.
And we also got Reese McGuire, as Gardner mentioned, fills the catcher hole. He's a sexual offender. Straight up.
You might be.
This is.
Way to cut the fat out of that one, Steve. Is.
Yeah, I mean, not going to dance around the bush on that one. I fell asleep. Like, I took a nap, like, right after I got home from work on Monday. I wake up and Diekman's gone. We'll get to that in a minute. And, well, Diekman got traded for McGuire. Diekman's gone and Vasquez is gone. We got Pham on the team. I go, we really traded a guy who's been the longest tenured member of this organization and a guy who's like an absolute warrior battling a stomach condition for a sex offender and a guy who slaps people over fantasy football.
Tommy Pham, well-known, not great guy, I'm pretty sure.
I almost said this a couple episodes ago. Recently, I've never been the biggest Tommy Pham guy. And I don't think that's hard to understand. And not because of the way he plays, because of like who he is. I mean, he's notoriously been the last couple of years in the league, like one of the biggest assholes, if we're going to put it bluntly.
There's a whole thing, I think, when he was on the Padres, or something about like the fans, and he was yelling at his own fans in San Diego. I can't remember exactly what happened, but it did not make Tommy Pham look nice. And, you know, he was arguing with his own team, too, at some point in San Diego. Pretty sure I'll have to see if I can look it up. But Tommy Pham.
I think when I saw that Tommy Pham was on the Reds this year, and because there had definitely been stuff that came out about him before this year, before this whole stupid fantasy football thing with Jock Peterson. I mean, his character was already in question.
Okay.
And
he remember when him and that guy Ha-Seong Kim collided? Kim was going out to left field.
Pham was yes.
And they both went down. And Tommy Pham was absolutely livid, even though it was just like a baseball thing that, you know, happens pretty often, you know, relatively often, I guess. Tommy Pham was not happy, and he had some words for Kim, and I don't think they were nice ones.
I mean, listen, here's the thing. We gave up cash for Tommy Pham. He's on the team for the rest of this year. I believe he's got a $6 million player option for next year, so he can opt into that if he wants to stay for the $6 million, which if I was him, $6 million is, you know, probably just a little bit better than you're getting on the open market. But
okay, he was mad at Kim for running into him. But I guess the third base coach, I'm not going to get too deep into this, Bobby Dickerson said something, yelled at them for the poor defensive communication while they're still laying on the ground. And Tommy Pham took exception to that and was mad. So I don't know. Who's the bad guy in that situation? I have no idea. Tommy Pham, we'll see how he goes, I guess.
I got a hot take that I actually just thought about him because of a debate we had like not even three or four episodes ago. Tommy Pham might not be the highest character guy, and we haven't even talked about his play. He's a top of the lineup guy. He walks a lot. He gets on base. He's speedy. He's a solid defensive outfielder. He's a decent piece. He's better than Jackie Bradley, And he's better than Jarren Duran too. I mean, at this point, he's our second best outfielder right now.
Jesus.
I will say this about Tommy Pham, though. That's what I'm saying. Well, that's hold on. This is what I want to say about Pham.
You ever seen that Moneyball scene where they're like, he gets on base? You know what I'm talking about?
It's like Scott Hatterberg can't walk, but he gets on base.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
I want to say this about Tommy Pham. Steve, are you editing this tonight?
Yeah.
What time are you staying up until?
The earliest I possibly can go to sleep, I will. I just got a text from my boss. I need to be in at 6:30.
Jesus.
Can I do one John Cena take? Actually, how long does a John Cena take you to put in?
I don't know. Is it going to outweigh this conversation? Who's to say?
Hold on. I already texted you about this later. I'm going to save my John Cena take for later.
Can you just type
this? This is my half John Cena. No, I'm gonna say it. I'm just not going to say a hot take.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. Two or three episodes ago, a few episodes ago, we talked about how the Red Sox were missing basically an asshole in their clubhouse, a vocal guy who stirs things up a little bit.
This is not even close to the same thing.
You don't think so?
No.
I'm not saying Pham's like a leader by any sorts. He's not. But could Pham stir the pot a little bit? Maybe.
In a positive way?
We'll see.
I'd say there's like an 80% chance it's negative and like a 20% chance he has positive vocal impact.
I'm just spitballing.
All I'm thinking is if you hear about Tommy Pham talk, like significant talk about him in the clubhouse, it is probably going to be bad. Bad news.
You know, I'll put it this way. I ran into an old high school gym teacher of mine last week, 2 weeks ago, and he's a big football guy. Big football guy.
Love a good football guy.
When he was a coach back in, like, this guy's old. So when he was a coach like 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Let's not be ageist here. Come on.
It was like guys would be fighting in practice all the time. And he said he's still a coach now. And he said that there was a fight at practice and like all the coaches like raced to go break it up except for him. Cause he's like, you gotta like basically pay guys to care enough to fight each other now. So
you gotta let them tire each other out.
That's like kind of exactly how he is. Like, just like beat the pulp out of each other. And like, that's football, I guess.
And they get up and they shake hands and they're better because of it.
He's one of the,
Steve, you're going to make an excellent dad or coach at some point.
Dude, maybe.
But anyway, maybe to Guardy's point, Tommy Pham is going to be just like the Joe Kelly of the group, just like starting fights.
Oh, no. Don't compare Joe Kelly to Tommy Pham.
That's kind of what you're saying.
To some extent. No, I agree to some extent, but I think let's not compare Joe Kelly to Tommy
Pham.
One of them's an ass,
the other one's a sociopath.
Right, and I'd rather have the sociopath.
Interesting choice.
I mean, listen, who won us the World Series? Listen, I'll say this about Pham.
Who saved the bullpen?
Nick Pivetta.
Andrew Kelly did it first.
Andrew Bailey saved the bullpen, baby. I'll say this about Pham. This last thing I'll say about Pham, and then I want to quickly touch on the last thing about Vasquez and McGuire and Diekman. I think it's a great pickup. We need another, like, bat.
Great.
I think it's good if you paid nothing. And Steve, now you're looking at him over Jackie Bradley Jr. It's a big upgrade. I'm not completely thrilled about the guy we got back. What?
Big, great are not words that I would use.
Solid. A solid and a minor step up. Not even minor. It's a serviceable step up. When you're going to the Red Sox game, if you're I wouldn't even say a casual fan, you might recognize Tommy Pham's name. You might. Over a guy like Rob Refsnyder or Yolmer Sanchez. I'm not saying they play the same position, but he's going to force one of those guys out of the lineup. I'm just saying we got at least a bat in the lineup who's been in the league for more than 28 hours.
Yep, he's a grizzled vet.
Grizzled. I like that word. So I'm not completely opposed. It sounds like he'll be playing left every day now. Verdugo's going to slide over to right field, which is fine. Verdugo's got experience in right field in 20 season. So, I mean, I'm cool with this move. I like it.
Okay. Also, something to think about. I know that the Red Sox weren't necessarily willing to give Kyle Schwarber the amount of money that he was looking for, but I think one of the ways that, like, the organization justified it, I don't know if this was the ownership, Cora or Heim, they were like, if we have Schwarber, then we kind of have to move Verdugo over to right, like, full-time while JD still DHs, and we don't want Verdugo in right. We'd rather keep him at left.
Did they say that?
I think that was some chatter about that, yeah.
I honestly don't remember that. I mean, I believe you, but that's a weird gripe to have because he wasn't bad defensively in right.
I know. That was just weird. I think that was just like, I don't know if there was just stirrings of that to justify the fact that they didn't want to pay Kyle Schwarber like the money that he wanted, which was probably the real reason why he didn't get re-signed in Boston. Who knows? Who knows? But just interesting to note, I guess.
I mean, oops, sorry. I muted myself by accident. I'll say this about Schwarber. I mean, we've talked a lot about this. I want to focus on the trade deadline, but I've seen a lot of people saying, like, I can't believe they didn't resign him. Like, would I like to have him? Yeah. Would I like to have him over Trevor Story? No. And I'll stick to that. Trevor Story is a better all-around player. He's got a better glove. He's got better speed. Trevor Story in the long run is going to be better than Kyle Schwarber. I mean, once Schwarber stops hitting for power, I mean, kind of what else in his game does he resort to?
Like average and walks and getting on
base.
He
walks a lot. His walk rates a lot.
Well, he's got
his chase rate as well.
He does have a very good zone, a feeling for the zone. But the thing,
once he stops hitting for power, he's just going to start getting on base.
I would still, maybe not this year, maybe not this year, but in 3 years, I'd rather have Trevor Story than Kyle Schwarber. And I think the motto of this team right now, and we put out an episode, boys, in the winter of 2020, and I discovered this name recently. We said 2024 World Series champs. And I don't think we thought the rebuild was going to happen this quickly. But the motto with Heim Bloom and the motto of this team has been build it up. Not quickly.
It's build it up and contend at the same time.
Exactly, Steve. Which exactly. And I've been seeing a lot of people. And I'm not going to lie. If you want to grizzle me up a little bit on Twitter, say something bad about Heim, because I will defend Heim with literally anything he's done so far, except for the Jackie Bradley Jr. trip. That's the only one I'm still like, eh.
Going back to the Kyle Schwarber Trevor Story thing.
The trading Mookie thing was fine because the ownership wasn't going to give him $350 million. And now we got Verdugo. Like,
okay with the package we got back?
I'm not okay with it, but I mean.
So then you're not happy with Heim?
Wait.
That is such a blanket statement.
There's something you can say there.
With that.
Hold on.
We don't have all the information in terms of how Heim communicated with the ownership about Betts. You could have Heim going to the ownership at that time and saying maybe Mookie Betts isn't worth that amount of money, and maybe the impact that he'll have on the team isn't equivalent to the amount of money that the Dodgers ended up paying him. So Heim might have had some impact in the non-signing of Mookie Betts. It might not just be the ownership not willing to pay that amount of money. Who knows? Package, I think, was okay.
It was, I mean, listen, Verdugo was never going to be as good as Mookie, and people knew that.
Drop the ball with Gatterall? That was who it was.
Yeah,
right?
Klaassen, we're talking about that the other day at the game a little bit. I mean, he's not great. He's not great, but he's better than Downs and Wong.
None of the pieces you got back have been as good as you hoped they would be.
And I mean, when the trade conversation was going on, it was kind of like that too. The Red Sox fans were like, give us Dustin May or Gavin Lux.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. You kind of needed to get one of those guys.
And we didn't. And Verdugo was that next best guy. And has Verdugo been bad? No. He does have a negative war this year.
He's been bad
this year. But, you know, I think Haim was honestly put in a tough situation there.
But you have this piece.
That I think you got to demand.
It's not like
don't trade him to the Dodgers. You're hanging,
I don't think like anybody else could have taken that on.
Not like you're hanging like some everyday outfielder yet. Out there.
I don't think the Mets were going to take him on and then give us a shit ton of prospects too. Or like a major league ready piece. And I mean, Downs has not panned out. He, if you want to look at certified quad ball player, it's Jeter Downs. He balls out at AAA.
Jeter Downs, his sample size is very low. And we're talking about the Mookie Betts trade right now because we're talking about Haim Bloom for the record. Yeah. We're not talking about Betts.
Yeah. Okay.
And then also for the Kyle Schwarber versus Trevor Story thing, I would say that Kyle Schwarber is without a doubt, and this is a team right now and for the next few years, a better fit. Is he overall a better baseball player than Trevor Story? No. Is he a lefty power bat and an outfielder, which are all things that we kind of need on this roster? Yes. Is the middle infield really, really log jammed right now in the Red Sox organization? Yes. And does Trevor Story kind of give the ownership / Haim Bloom a reason to maybe push Xander Bogaerts out of the organization? Also, yes. So with all those things in mind, I don't know.
I would agree with you on that last point at the beginning of the season. I think we talked about that, but I think at this point now it's like Trevor Story's hitting 225.
But now he's under that contract.
No, so I know. And I'm not saying it was an awful signing. That the point it's at now, it's not the best signing. It's not the best signing, but I'm saying if the ownership at the beginning of the season tried to justify it and be like, we're pushing Xander out because we got Trevor Story, people would have been less pissed about it than they would be now, because Trevor Story, he's really had a very mediocre season, if we're being honest. I know he's gotten hurt.
Mid.
You know, play it. But
not even
in terms of Haim, getting back to the point, and Casas was also supposed to be up this year. First base has been awful. But Casas was supposed to be up this year, and he got hurt. He's been out since mid-May. I know he just got back last week, but he was out for, you know, two and a half months almost. I have just seen a lot of people on Twitter being like, you know, Haim this, Haim that, confused about the direction of the team. Yes. And I think if you're a little bit more of a casual fan, and I'm not blaming anybody, if you're a Red Sox fan, you're a Red Sox fan. But if you want to take a deeper dive into things and you want to look at why is the team doing this and why is the team doing that, it makes a little bit more sense. Whereas, you know, I've got people texting me like, why are we trying to win and we're trading Vasquez? And, you know, that I'm still a little bit disappointed about. But, you know, if Wong, Plawecki, and Maguire can be okay, and then, you know, Pham and Hosmer can step up, I don't think that role of catcher is really going to play into the biggest of impact. Like, if you're telling me that the only thing separating this team between a World Series and not making the playoffs was Christian Vasquez, you're crazy.
Here's the way I look at it. This is going to be my one soliloquy of the episode that compiles every opinion that I have on this trade deadline. Did they fill every hole that they needed to? Absolutely not. Were they ever going to? Absolutely not. Did they do nothing? No. Did they do something? Yes. Was that something inherently good? Yes. You filled your need at first base with a defensive first baseman who hits for good contact. He's also a lefty, which bodes well at Fenway. Catcher, Christian Vasquez can still come back. He clearly wants to come back.
Did you see him today or last night when he pinch hit? He got up
and come back.
An out with one out in the ninth inning and hugged Plawecki and pointed out and like waved Hauk. His team's down one run. I get he just got traded, but I think Vasquez wants to come back. I don't think ownership's going to bring him back. Would I like to have him back? Like, yeah, but
I don't think you're going to bring him back. But you also now have depth at catcher. Plawecki is the best backup catcher in the league. This Maguire guy, I don't know anything about him. He'll be fine. And Wong is fine.
These are similar stats to Vasquez with less power somehow. Like less power.
Have you looked at his spray chart?
No.
It's pretty impressive. He really sprays everywhere.
Oh, what? Jesus Christ. All right. But what you just said, Fawcett, about the moves.
Sorry, can I finish? I'm not done.
I just was about to agree with you, but I'll agree with you after.
Thank you. So, and then Pham is another just like lateral move in the outfield. It kicks Franchi out of the majors for now, which is great. As much as I love
him. Oh, write that one down.
He is a complete liability in the field. Almost a bigger liability at the plate these days. So you've kicked him out of the majors for now, which is excellent. You still have glaring needs at pitcher. Your bullpen's banged up. You really didn't get anything back for Diekman, which I feel like was a bad idea. If you're going to give up one of your, like, quote-unquote, better.
No. He was not good.
He was an inning filler.
He was the fifth guy out of the pen at this point.
And he was an inning filler. He filled innings.
You can fill it with Caleb Ort at this point. I mean, Diekman was awful. I love the guy. I openly.
Here's the thing. You lose innings. That's the thing. They don't have to be necessarily good, but you throw him out there when you have a couple run lead and he eats innings.
Let me ask you this, Clausen. Would you rather have Darwinson Hernandez in for an inning or Jake Diekman?
Probably Jake Diekman. No. Darwinson is terrible.
Jake Diekman, dude, you keep talking. His walks per nine this year was, like, unbelievably high.
All right, but then look at Darwinson has had some atrocious outings.
I know he has. That was Diekman. The biggest one was
he at least provides
28-5 Blue Jays game. 28-5 Blue Jays game was
good. Atrocious.
I mean, we look at Jake Diekman also pitched an inning today for the White Sox. He gave up no hits, struck out none, but hit two batters. So you want to talk about control? Jake Diekman's got none of it. His walks per nine this year was seven. Seven.
He walks a lot of guys. What was his ERA?
His ERA was a 4.12, and his whip was a 1.49.
What was Darwinson's?
Darwinson's got like five games played, and again, I just said one of those games was the Blue Jays games. His ERA right now is 12.27.
Huh. I don't know why Clausen's dying on this Jake Diekman hill, but
right. I think Jake, really, okay, maybe like, it was a bad... Hold on, maybe it was bad to bring up Darwinson. Here, if you exclude, you're going to be like, oh, sample size. If you exclude the one game against the Blue Jays and take Diekman's three other appearances.
You mean Darwinson?
Yeah, sorry, Darwinson. Three games pitched, a 3.86 ERA, and his whip, I don't know what his whip is. This is... Reference is being weird, but still.
Sample size. Anyway.
I agree.
The least important trade we've talked the most about. So all you really needed to do for me, the Sox are what? Two games out of a wild card? You're two not games far out behind. Of not far behind the wild card at all. Teams are going to fall off. Sox are going to get better. Sometimes you don't need to shake the world and sign Juan Soto and Josh Hader to make a playoff push. Sometimes all you need to do is just readjust a little bit. You are never going to – the core is going to be what the core is. JD still hits. Bogart still hits. Devers still hits. Story may or may not come back, but at least those three are going to be consistencies. Outside of that, you have to fill them with talent. If the talent you filled with them that's supposed to be short-term wasn't working out, sometimes you have to make lateral moves and hope one of these guys catches lightning in a bottle. What are the odds that Tommy Pham, this McGuire guy, anybody else, Eric Hosmer, catches fire? It's better than the guys you had.
Hosmer hits like 355 at Fenway, fun fact.
Huh? He's good there.
But here's the thing. Like, my point is out of those three guys, so Hosmer probably going to more likely to catch fire at Fenway than Bobby or Franchi combined.
Yeah. Also, for the record, Bogarts has been not hitting well as of like the past month and a half.
And neither is the whole team.
I'm just saying that they're getting a hit and they're not necessarily.
They will hit though.
Bogarts is still hitting 313.
Yeah, he's hitting 269 over his last 30.
I mean, I think his last seven is better. But I mean, here's the thing.
It's 240.
Over his last seven, really?
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, there you go. Here's the thing about McGuire, like, you know, you dump Diekman, that's fine. I think that's a financial thing. They're getting rid of like $4 million for him. McGuire's making nothing. The thing with Heim and the thing that he's looking at right now, and you have to understand this, is he wants controllable pieces that are undervalued at the price that they're paying them.
He wants to catch lightning in a bottle. And these three guys, you have a better chance to do it than anyone you had.
I agree, Clausen. That's why I'm saying I like these moves. And I'll say this about Christian Vasquez. This is my John Cena moment. Ready? Hot take. Trading Christian Vasquez, although it might have been a little bit confusing, I think it was a good thing. I think it sends a message to this club. Xander, Devers. I think it sends a message to them. I think it's like, listen, we got to shake things up. It wasn't working. Was he one of your best friends? Yeah, he was. He was. Was he a decent player? Decent. Yeah, he was. He was. But it was not working. It was not working. And I think by Heim doing that, he's like, figure it out. Awesome.
Guardy. I think by disincentivizing, by taking one of the guys that was most loved on the team and being like, nah, he sucks. Get out. Now play better.
When did he say
you're just like, all you do is just like demotivate the team. It's like, all right, here's a guy that was hitting well. We probably weren't going to resign him, but he was hitting well. Everyone really liked him. Now let's get him out to send a message to the team. Nobody's going to want to play for that team anymore.
Well, I think more so the message there is, all right, Christian Vasquez hitting well, having a good season, not under team control after this season. Let's get him out of here because this team, this season, isn't going to win the World Series. That's what Heim's thinking. So Heim also pivots, says, all right, need more pieces to control through 2025. Enter these guys that he acquired. So he's saying basically this season, not going to happen. Maybe sometime in the next three seasons, it will happen. So that's the message that he sent to his team right now. Also, thing about Heim is, I was going to agree with Clausen a few minutes ago. He was saying that it's not about the Heims or the moves that Heim makes. It's never been about the moves that Heim does make, because every move that Heim makes, excluding JBJ for Hunter Renfro, which is an absolute definition of a head scratcher, it doesn't make any sense. Hindsight's 2020, I guess. Every move that Heim makes, you're like, okay, this is cool. This isn't a bad move necessarily. Maybe we got better, I guess, but it's moves that Heim doesn't make. And one of the main, there are two, I think, really, really big things we needed to address in the trade deadline. Number one was our defense. Getting rid of Vasquez does upgrade our defense a little bit at catcher. And Franchi not being at first base is a net positive because Franchi can play first base. And then our pitching. He didn't really do anything.
Also good. He's a good defender too.
Yeah. And our pitching is, he didn't really do anything with it. And I think that borderline is just as bad of a problem as our defense has been.
I agree with that, Steven. We talked earlier today too. We were like, is Heim loading up for a big trade this offseason? Because when you look at the pitching staff, especially if Evaldi leaves, it's looking bleak right now. It's looking really bleak. And
they're going to Jay Groom. He was projected to be ready next season.
I'm not buying into that. Like,
I'm just saying he was projected to be ready next season. That's just not an option anymore. So you do need, I'm just saying the pitching looks even worse than it did.
Yeah, they're going to, and the problem is, it's a problem. Like, I don't want to depend on these guys, but Rich Hill's a free agent. Michael Walker's a free agent. James Paxton has I forget if it's a team or player option.
People still don't know where James Paxton is. James
Paxton, no, he threw a 2-inning simulated game today.
James Paxton, I feel like cannot be even included in these, like, who's going to be on the team
right
now.
We'll take Paxton out of it. Well, then take Paxton out of it. So who are you looking at next year? You're looking at Nick Pivetta, who it's like, all right, he's been good except for his last four starts, which have been dreadful. And you're like, this is borderline like Phantom IL level. It's Pivetta. And then it's like, is Sale healthy?
Question mark.
And then it's Cutter Crawford. After that, you're like Cutter Crawford, Josh Winkowski, Brian Baio, Connor Siebold, which is
Brian
like
Baio is even less ready.
Also, I think
Jay Groom would have been if they just called Jay Groom up.
Who also got hurt today. Brian Baio tweaked his back. So, you know, there's a lot of things there. And Steve, I agree. It's like, why did Heim not do this, not do that? I mean, I fully understand the mindset of not completely going in and selling a lot. But between the two prospects we got for Vasquez, and at the end of the show, I want to talk, you know, I think we should wrap this show with some of our best Vasquez memories, because he was a great, great guy for this organization. But between getting Maguire, getting Pham, and getting two prospects for Vasquez, I'm okay. I was okay with that. It was a little head scratching. Once I slept on it till the next morning, I was like, this is okay. But we haven't even talked about the big deal yet.
All right. I also like to point out that we're so loaded on prospects in like so many places. I know that we just drafted Marcelo. He's 19. I think he's going to be one of those guys. Like Devers came in to the league at 20. I mean, you got guys like Juan Soto who are like 23. They've been in the league for 12 years. I think Marcelo is going to be an early call up. So I think some people are like, we can stockpile that guy till 25. I don't know if that's going to be the case.
No. I think the latest we see him is 2024.
Yeah. So
the latest.
Something to look out for with the whole log jam in the middle infield, you know?
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, you just alluded to Juan Soto, the whole big Juan Soto to the Padres trade happens and the Padres say, hey, we're going to include one, or the Nationals are like, we want one more major league guy. And the Padres are like, we're going to throw you Eric Hosmer, except he's got a no trade clause. So Eric Hosmer says, I'm not going to the Nationals. He rejects his
DC.
he opts into his no trade clause. San Diego ends up sending Luke Voit to Washington. Washington really did get a lot for Soto, but that's beyond the point.
I mean, he's,
I mean, he
top three player in the league.
Yeah, exactly. At 23 years old. I mean, it's an unprecedented trade. So Eric Hosmer's sitting there because the Padres also get Josh Bell back. So you're looking, you're like, where does Hosmer play? And Chaim Bloom swoops in. If he was trading for Hosmer straight up, I don't love this trade. But the details of this trade make me love it. And I'm not going at anybody because somebody called me out and called me a baseball nerd on Twitter for saying that, like, people who disagree about this trade with me, like, he was like, you know, I basically called some people out. I was like, how can you look at this as a bad trade? And he's like, these guys are the worst. This is why the sport is dying. People proclaimed that I was the reason the sport was dying. I don't know.
On your personal account or on Gone Bridge?
On my personal account. I was like, this is a crazy take. This guy quoted me and he was like, this is why baseball is dying. Baseball nerds like this ruining the game. I'm looking at it like this. I don't know how you can look at this as a bad deal. Is Hosmer the best player anymore? No. We're paying him $700,000 for the next three seasons. Next year, at worst, he can slide in and DH when JD is gone. And mentor Tristan Casas, our second best prospect coming up. And Hosmer in the past has talked highly about Casas. They have a relationship already. You're paying him nothing. You then get the 11th best Padres prospect and the 26th best prospect. And you give away Jay Groom. Jay Groom, who has been finally, I think this season, starting to turn a corner a little bit. But for the Red Sox, and as a fan, I don't want to wait for any more pitching prospects. I mean, this is highway robbery, this trade. I loved this deal.
Jay Groom's going to turn into a tank in San Diego. I already know it.
I'm not worried about that. I'm really not. His fastball has dipped to like 88 to 92 since he got Tommy John. His curveball is not the same. He's not going to be that first-round talent that he thought he was going to be, and I think the Red Sox gave up on him.
I mean, he was not going to succeed on the Red Sox to begin with. The Red Sox don't develop pitching well at all.
Bingo, bingo, bingo. Why is it a bad move? Like, get rid of him.
I didn't say it was a bad move. I think it was a great thing that you did. You had a need at first, and you picked it up. But I feel like you're going to lose a guy who's going to go over to the Padres in a better system, who's actually developed pitching, and they're going to go over. He's going to get his confidence back. New situation, different coaching. Different eyes.
Padres haven't even really developed their starting rotation, though.
Huh?
Padres haven't even really homegrown their starting rotation.
I mean, Mackenzie Gore just came up in the last, like, 2 years. He was a tank.
He's gone now.
Well, was a tank for them.
I was going to say this. I posed this question to you guys in our group chat. When was the last time the Red Sox traded away a prospect? And I'm not saying a guy like Mancada or, you know, Kopech for like a decent big name player.
Why not them?
Because I'm saying, like, not your top one or two guys. If you trade those guys away and they turn out to be good, like
Kopech
Kopech was like three or four for us
at the time.
Yeah,
I don't know if he was.
He was high up there.
I thought he was 14.
I think he was higher up. But what I want to say is, when was the last time we traded a guy? You know, some names that come to mind: Manuel Margot, Anderson Espinosa, Jay Groom. And they turn out to be a stud, and we get fleeced.
Well, here's the thing, is the Sox don't really have many prospects that work out. In the last, 10 years? Well, in the last 10 years, how many good prospects have they ever had? They don't develop talent well.
Devers.
Devers is like the outlier.
Mookie.
Xander.
All right, Xander.
Xander's.
You want to tell me like John Lester and like Big Poppy and like
Vasquez.
Kirsten Vasquez. Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley Jr. for a time, Andrew Benintendi for a time.
Jackie Bradley Jr.?
I said for a time he was an all-star for a year, Clausen. I'm not saying he's good anymore. The Red Sox can't develop pitchers. But I mean,
I would say that there has not been a huge trade comparable to the Chris Sale trade where we've really shipped out those guys. Espinosa was maybe our number one pitching prospect at the time, but I don't think he was really slated to be great at that very moment. He was, I think, battling some kind of ailment. I don't think he saw the field in San Diego or wherever the hell their minor leaguers are for like 3 years. And we traded him for Drew Pomeranz. So, I mean, but there's just not been an instance where we've had a chance to be disappointed about who we've traded away.
Well, I think that like kind of proves the point there. It's like, I saw people being like, this is a bad trade just because of Jay Groom. And I'm like, since when are we getting really upset about this? Like Jay Groom was going to be the next, you know, big thing.
I've had stock in Jay Groom since like 2016.
I mean, I don't completely disagree. Like I had hope for him. The two guys that come to mind when I say this, or Frankie Montas, who was once a Red Sox, and, you know, recent all-star for the Blue Jays, Santiago Espinal. But
back can you go? Anthony Rizzo. Boom.
That's you got Adrian Gonzalez, which, you know, resulted partly in a World Series.
Once Anthony that trade Ramirez happened. Was on
Josh Beckett. They don't win 07 without Beckett.
True. All right, true. I don't know.
I can't think of any.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why I'm saying, like, Frankie Montas and Espinal. Like, you just got to live with it sometimes.
I think we win 2018 without Chris Sale.
That's a whole other debate for another day. But, yeah, that's kind of what I got. I like Hosmer, and I kind of want to end with this. So our lineup right now, top to bottom, you got Duran in center, you got Devers at third, you got Xander at short, Martinez at DH, you got Verdugo in right, Pham in left, Hosmer at first, and then McGuire, and you know Arroyo is going to have to fill in, but Story would be up there too. That is a better lineup than we had 3 days ago.
See if they get healthy.
Yes.
Exactly. So the final thing I want to talk about till we get into like we'll get through these questions quick and then wrap it up. What grade would you give the Red Sox trade deadline?
C plus.
I was gonna say B minus.
I was gonna give it a B.
It's pretty much
I don't think any of us are like jumping for joy. But
you have a chance for this to be like a nothing deadline, which like
you're either kind of thinking it will be really smart or really dumb.
Exactly. Like, well, here's the thing. It's a low ceiling, low floor or low ceiling, high floor kind of situation. Like, will these guys catapult the Red Sox deep into the playoffs? No. But will they get any worse from these moves? Probably not.
Right. I think it's minimal risk, high reward. And I think
that's what I just said.
Did you say that? I was reading through these comments. I'm sorry.
I said High ceiling, what? Wait.
You said high floor, low ceiling. So you said that they're going to be average no matter what, Clausen, pretty much.
I think there's a low floor and a high ceiling.
A low floor, meaning this could be catastrophic?
Or sorry. Yeah. A high floor and a high ceiling. I think
that these guys could either be really, really bad or anything they give you is extra.
I don't think they can be bad than what we had. Like, I think they could be bad, but not worse.
I mean, Reese could be worse than Vasquez.
He could be, but I mean, we'd have to face that problem in 2 months anyways, and Vasquez probably wasn't coming back.
All right, okay, so you're mailing it in this season?
See, this is what I'm saying. Trading Vasquez, if you really think Vasquez was the difference, Vasquez...
No, I'm just saying that it's possible for these guys to be worse than what we had already.
They are. But Maguire's got a positive war, and I'm just saying, if you really think that the difference from Vasquez to Maguire is the difference between getting into the playoffs, I can't see that.
No, you just were saying that like they're probably not going to be worse than what we had already, but I'm just saying that it's possible that they are.
It's possible. I just don't see it.
So the only person that is absolutely has to be better is Hosmer over Franchi.
He will be better.
Yeah, has to be.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Pham over JBJ. They literally said today JBJ is a bench player as of now.
Yeah, Pham.
It's been awful. I mean, he's okay. So we've got a couple questions. We'll run through these quick, and then we can close out the ninth and share our favorite Vasquez memories to close out the show. We got no questions today, and you know, Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the Astros. That's dope. You know, you watch the series, but this is all about the trade deadline. First question comes in from, I meant to say we had no questions from Matt. First question comes in from Spencer. He said, was it Dinelson Lamet? Is that how you pronounce his name? I know who's.
What? I don't know.
Dinelson Lamet just got DFA'd by the Brewers after they traded for Josh Hader. Sounds like a Heim Bloom pickup to me.
Fun. Maybe.
I'd be cool with that. I mean,
you're down on a reliever.
He's 30 years old, I think. He's been a reliever the last 2 years, but he used to be a starter. I'd be cool with that. Next question comes in from Andrew. He asked, did we trade Vasquez to the Astros to serve as a double agent?
Is this you?
No, different Andrew. But there's a great possibility of that.
Probably, yeah. That would be a high move. Bring him back.
Heim slipped him a million and said, bring us that ring.
Maybe.
Next question comes in from the Ohio Red Sox, who we already kind of answered this question. He asked, after this season, do you think Vasquez will come back?
No.
No.
I agree. I do not.
That's never been the case. It's like the only like recent example in any of baseball that I remember a player getting traded and then re-signing with the team that traded him is Aroldis Chapman with the Yankees. And I think that was pre-planned.
That happened with the only other John guy Lester in 2014, right?
No.
Come on, Clausen. The only other guy I can think of who did that was Familia. He got traded to Oakland and then immediately went back to the Mets. Maybe it's a New York thing.
Maybe.
The next question comes in from Michael, and he asks, what pitchers would you have liked to see the Red Sox get?
Jake Odorizzi like 2 years ago.
Max Scherzer, maybe.
What realistic pitchers would you have liked the Red Sox to get?
I don't know, Castillo.
David Robertson?
No.
I don't know if Castillo's that realistic, but definitely would help.
I mean, the Mariners had to give up their first, third, and fifth prospects for him.
You could buy low better. On Craig Kimbrel. He's been terrible. You need a like receiver who struggles with control. He's one of them.
Who? The Braves traded.
Oh, Will Smith. Guy.
Yeah, nah, yeah, yeah.
I would have been cool with that. Or maybe Jesse Chavez. I mean, he's not having a great year. Someone like that. Next question comes in from Caroline. She asks, what is Bobby going to do?
Bobby's going to be standing on the side of the street with a cardboard sign that says, we'll work for food. That's what Bobby's going to do.
Bobby's probably going to find a place in right field next year.
Bob's too big to play right field.
Can I throw something out there?
Check Aaron Judge, best player in the league.
I want to throw something out there. Like, this is kind of a wild take. I think he's played there once or twice. What if Bob's bat gets hot? If Story is still out, you play him at second base.
I don't care. It's fine.
I'd rather move Duran to second. Verdugo to center.
That's a lot of shifting parts. I think Bob, late in games, like Vasquez used to do sometimes, would shift over.
Well, Vasquez took significant reps at second base with the season.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, realistically, Bobby's not in maybe as a bench player next year. But
why didn't they just trade him?
For what, Steve?
It doesn't matter. Just get him, like, go get, give him a chance somewhere else.
Final question comes in from Jess. She asked, all that talk of buyers or sellers pre-deadline, so what were we? Neither or both?
Neither. We're squatters.
I guess kind of neither.
But it's like this food's kind of bland. And then you're like, but maybe some salt and pepper might save it.
But at least we got food.
It might, yeah.
You know what?
It's like the Red Sox before the trade deadline was the food. And you're like, this food's okay. And you're like, I hope this makes it taste better.
I think I know a way to spice the food up a little bit.
Yeah.
What's that?
Maybe if you ordered it through Instacart. If you don't know, Instacart is an online grocery delivery app that allows you to handpick a variety of fresh foods and products. Forget that ingredient you need to make your famous dish, a walk in the socks, or we're doing what you just talked about. You're doing what we just talked about. I don't know what that was. Order through Instacart. Delivery straight to your door in as fast as an hour. You can shop multiple stores, see details in your area that will help you save money. Every item is hand selected at the store to fit even the most specific needs. They always handle with care, get you everything in one piece. Sparky summer celebration. It's August. It's hot. Good time to be outside, grilling up. Spark your summer celebration. Never step foot in a grocery store again.
Officially in a Padres uniform.
I gotta check that out. But yeah, no questions for Matt today. No real Alex Cora impact players of the week, and nothing that really made baseball fun unless you saw something during the trade deadline. I will say that this year, for whatever reason, the trade deadline was like hurting me a little bit more than usual. Like, I always forget how much it affects these guys on a personal level.
Yeah, they're people, but it's a business.
It is a business. You know, you got to know what you're getting into, Booyah, before you get it.
B-I-Z-N-U-S, business.
Good stuff, Steve. All right, before we close out the ninth quickly, what is your most memorable Christian Vasquez moment?
The walk-off last year.
It's got to be the walk-off. I mean, the only other one that really comes to mind for me was he hit a walk-off in 2017 against the Indians. And the game, they were just battling. I remember watching that game, staying up late. But I think for me, like, what I'll most take away from Vasquez was just, like, dependable. Like, he was never great. But he came up in the clutch. I was going to say that. Like, you know.
Vasquez exclusively hit clutch home runs.
I did like him a lot. I will miss him, but from a business perspective, not the worst move in the world. So
he was a solid lad. He was a good lad.
It's a quote card.
Served us valiantly.
Enjoy Houston.
Good luck. All right, closing out the ninth, wrap this thing up here. What do you guys got?
I'm tired.
Hell I'm also tired.
Go Red Sox. Even though I don't think they're going to go anywhere. Go Red Sox.
Go Red Sox. Big four-gamer coming up this weekend against Kansas City. Eric Hosmer makes his debut and the team that he came up with. So stay tuned for that. But, we'll be out with another episode soon. Not sure when, but we'll be out with another episode soon. So I hope you enjoyed this trade deadline special episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at GoneBridge Podcast and Twitter at GoneBridge. Don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And we will be back next week, sometime soon, with episode 98. See ya!